When my big brother started elementary school when I was almost four, I decided I wanted to learn how to read too. I quickly learned my ABCs and then started searching for simple words. I was allowed to ride my tricycle on the sidewalk down to the corner just two or three two-flat apartment buildings away. I could read my street name, Nelson, and stop on the signs where the sidewalk ended. Every car license parked next to the curb said Land of Lincoln and Illinois. My parents told me we lived in Illinois, though I didn't understand that because I knew we lived in Chicago and I couldn't work out how one place could be inside another place. I also had no clue what Land of Lincoln meant, and when my dad showed me a penny with Abraham Lincoln on it, that hardly cleared things up. Other things I read didn't seem to make any sense either, such as the ingredients listed on food boxes and cans. But it was fun sounding out even what seemed like nonsense words. We had a couple of little golden books, Five Little Firemen and The Pokey Little Puppy, and subscriptions to the Chicago Tribune and Firefighter, my dad's union magazine. Most of the newspaper was confusing, and except for some exciting stories and photo captions, so was Firefighter. My grandmother gave us a set of the Illustrated Home Library encyclopedias. I opened them at random now and then, and at some point when I was four or five, I decided to tackle them systematically, reading every word of every volume starting with Aardvark. I plowed through the two A volumes, perhaps understanding 0.1% of what I read, and then started in on the first B volume. I got as far as B-I-R-D and stopped. That article, 8 pages long, was utterly fascinating. I already loved birds. I was obsessed by the pigeons and sparrows around our apartment and knew that my beloved grandmother, also named Laura, who had died when I was very small, had loved birds. I didn't understand most of what was in the bird article, but figured if I read it over and over and over, little by little it would make more sense. I was the only one in the family who was fascinated by those encyclopedias, but that B volume was the only one that was read over and over. Soon it had a visible crack in the spine and automatically opened to the bird entry, which was eventually committed to memory. I remember a couple of times when we had company, my parents opened the encyclopedia to bird and gave it to someone to follow along while I recited it word for word. Of course, no one had the patience to follow for more than a few sentences, so there's no proof that I actually could recite all 8 pages, but as I recall, I really could. In my memory, that encyclopedia article is where I learned about the tiniest bird in the universe, the bee hummingbird of Cuba, the largest bird in the universe, the ostrich, and what seemed like the most beautiful bird in the universe, the resplendent quetzal. For a while, as a small child, I even became obsessed with the word resplendent, using it over and over in everyday conversation. A few weeks ago, I found a vintage copy of that B volume for sale on Amazon, opened it up, and there was my beloved bird entry. But it seemed utterly unfamiliar, and nowhere was the ostrich, bee hummingbird, or resplendent quetzal even mentioned. I must have learned about them from poring over my grandpa's Reader's Digests or from different volumes of the encyclopedia, but now I'll never know for sure. Something I've been talking about for decades turns out to be based on a false memory. But of course, the essentials remain true. I was fascinated by birds for as long as I can remember, and even if I don't know how I learned it, the bee hummingbird remains the tiniest bird, the ostrich the largest, and the resplendent quetzal truly resplendent. When it comes down to it, I guess that's all that really matters. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds. Thank you.